One night he wandered in that old mission, the one out on the poor side of town. He really had no interest in salvation, well, just a place to lay his drunk old body down. He said, "Ma'am, I sure am hungry, and I don't have a penny to my name. Lord knows I ain't worked a month of Sundays. I'm dirty, dead broke, and so ashamed. I need bread and water, ma'am, that's all I need. Bread and water, a place to rest my feet. I ain't too proud to get down on my knees if the bread and water's free." "Welcome at this table," she said. "Brother, you look like you could use a friend, and there's no need to pay if you're not able, 'cause even Jesus, he was a homeless man." She opened up the Word and started reading about the Savior and the woman at the well. She said, "It ain't right for me to judge this life you're leading. There's only two things can save your soul from hell. That's all you need. Bread and water, a place to rest your feet. Don't be too proud to get down on your knees, 'cause the bread and water's free." Choked up. They spoke every word of a sinner's prayer. He closed his eyes, and when he opened, he found bread and water waiting there. That's all you need. Bread and water, a place to rest your feet. Bread and water, man, that's all you need. Bread and water, brother, just believe. Don't be too proud to get down. Is free. Don't be too proud to get down on your knees. The bread and water's free."
talk about John the Baptist here this morning. Matthew chapter 11. Remember in chapter 10, he sent out his 12 disciples to go preach in the cities and to heal the lame, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And don't worry about their response. Just shake off the dust off your feet and go on to the next city. And he even warned them of the time to come, the persecution that they would endure, and that all of God's servants would endure as they preached the kingdom of heaven. And he even talked at the very end about those who help those who are preaching the word, that they'll receive a prophet's reward, they'll receive a righteous man's reward. And he ended his message there. In our Bible version, we have 42 verses in that message. And in chapter 11, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let's pray. Father, help us to grab a hold of the things that we're reading here in this gospel. Help me to preach the word and be with the hearers to hear. And may we all do what we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imprisoned John the Baptist questions Jesus' messiahship. After Jesus was done preaching, he departed in the cities. Now when John had heard in the prison, you know, that's not where John probably thought he would end up. Probably thought that he would end up in the king's palace, in the kingdom. He had prepared the people of Israel for the Messiah to come, and he had come. He even told his followers to follow this Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what he told his disciples. He wanted them, his own disciples, to follow him. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. I'm not worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoes. Yet Jesus would say, and we're going to see later, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But he would have us all follow Christ. And here he is in prison. Doesn't seem to be right. John's faith was being tested here. And sometimes even in prison, your faith gets tested. Sometimes that's where you got to be in order for your faith to be tested. Have you ever been in prison? Ever been in jail? Are you imprisoned by habits, by things that are not pleasing unto the Lord? And you wonder why things just aren't the way they should be? Why I hear everybody else talk about the great blessings of the Lord and I'm not experiencing them? It's then when your faith gets tested. You know, he was an unshakable preacher as a free preacher. But when he was in prison, we find him instructing his disciples. He sent two of his disciples with a question. And the question obviously tells us that John was wondering what's going on. Doesn't seem to be correct. Doesn't seem to be what I expected. He was unshakable as the free preacher, but in prison, and I don't want to say too much negatively about John the Baptist. I mean, don't want to do that. But I believe that he's no different than any one of us. And he instructed them to go and say unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Wow. Even his understanding of Jesus' own reception by the people was not what John thought would be. And I don't think there's a single one of us sitting here this morning who doesn't at times wonder, why is it that people don't love my Lord? Why is it they are not beating down the doors of the meeting places where the gospel is preached and the truth is put forth to receive the good news? Why is it I can talk to my coworkers and they seem unconcerned about these things? It just doesn't seem like that's the way it ought to be. There ought to be more who are interested in these things. But we do read our scriptures which say, few there be that find it, and the broad way that leadeth to hell, many there be that go in thereat. Oh boy. John, not much different. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? See, but in prison and under unfavorable conditions, faith is put under severe testing. And I believe you've all gone through that in one way or another. Maybe God hasn't thrown you into prison to get you there, but you've been in circumstances that really test your faith and make you question the whole thing. I know there have been times that I've been laying in bed at night after years of ministering and saying, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I'm following the wrong way? Well, you know, it isn't too long after thinking dumb things like that that I start going over all the things that prove to me that I'm on the right road. And that's what Jesus did when he answered John the Baptist, because he did answer him. Jesus' answer must have comforted John as he went to his execution. And you know his type of execution was eventually Herod's wife, second wife, his adulterous relationship ended in John the Baptist being beheaded because Herodias' daughter danced so seductively in front of King Herod that he ordered John the Baptist's head to be cut off and brought. And the words that the Lord answered John must have comforted him all the way to his death. As I read no details of John the Baptist being upset, screaming and hollering, kicking and screaming, blaming the Lord or anything like that. But what was the Lord's answer? His answer back was, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. I can remember laying in bed when thoughts of lack of faith and doubt arise. And you know, as a preacher, I've been preaching for 38 years, I'm not afraid to admit that there have been times when faith has been tested. And I will say to you, I believe that you've all been there, gone through it yourself. If not, then I really don't know if you're human or not. And what do you need in response? You need just what the Lord said here. John, I'm going to go over some things that you've seen and heard already. Okay? I'm going to go over some things with you. And oh, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit of God does that with me in times of doubting and testing of my faith. Is say, all right, Gary, let's go over some things. Let's see, is this real or isn't it? And by the time, and he doesn't have to go too far in his reminding me of things before I realize, how foolish was I? How foolish. I was like a beast before thee. In Psalm 73 comes to my mind. I challenge you to read it this afternoon, Psalm 73. If you don't know what it is, you'll soon know when you read it. Oh, how foolish was I. And I often get up from a condition like that with much more ambition and desire and love and appreciation for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. But what did he say to him? The blind received their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, John's answer back to John indicates to me that Jesus believed that John would know what he's talking about when he said these things. And I just want to dwell here a little bit. John knew his Bible. John knew his Bible. Because the answer given back to John as to whether Jesus is the Messiah, and that we don't need to look for another, I'm the one, John, is because, John, do you remember what the Scriptures say? Do you remember what the Bible says? John knew his Bible. John had a mother and father named Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they were righteous, the Bible says. They were righteous. And Elizabeth was barren and had no child. And she cried and prayed unto God for a child, and God gave her John the Baptist. And he was born to her and to Zacharias, who was a priest. And a godly priest. And these two were godly parents. And I'm saying all this without much scriptural detail except from what I could see on the surface. That they must have taught John the Bible. And at that time, the Bible was the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament hasn't been written yet. None of the New Testament has been written. All that John had was what he was taught from the Scriptures of the Old Testament. The first five books of Moses, the historical books, the books of wisdom, and the books of prophecy and the prophets. That's what he had. And the Lord uses those Scriptures to remind John of what you've seen and heard going on since Jesus has come and his disciples gone throughout the cities. The news got back to John. Hey, John, you know what's going on out there? Well, what's been going on out there? Well, Jesus' disciples, they're going from city to city. And in the other gospel, there were 70 that he sent out as well in this regard. We don't see that in Matthew, but we see it in the other gospels. And they're going from city to city, and you should hear what's going on. What's going on? They're healing people everywhere. Do you know that the leper colony was cleaned out? They cleaned out the leper colony. The blind have received their sight. Really? You know what I remember? Scriptures read to me in the synagogues as a boy. And my mom, Elizabeth, would read to me. Now, I don't know if they had portions of the Scriptures or not. I said, John, we're going down to the synagogue today. What for? We're reading the Scriptures. Or we're having the Scriptures read to us. You know, that's the only way they had the Bible. You know, I just want to say this. You are blessed to have a copy of the Scriptures on your lap. And not only that, a complete compendium or complete Scriptures on your laps. How much do you think John the Baptist would have given to have something like this? Even if it was just the Old Testament. How much do you think they'd give for that? I'll tell you what. People did die just so that we might have this book on our laps this morning. You know, throughout the Dark Ages, people would copy the scriptures and they would hide it in their house. And because the persecution was so strong, and many times that from the hand of the Roman Catholic system that did not want the Bible in the common language of the people, they wanted that to be kept just to them and their libraries and the priests only. And amazingly, even the priests didn't know their Bibles. Oh, they knew more about church tradition than they knew about their Bibles. But these people, they knew how important the copies of the scriptures were. In fact, how precious just a portion of the scriptures were. They would hide them. And there were search and destroy groups sent out to find these scriptures in the homes of these Christians. And when they would find them, they would either burn them. Sometimes they would kill the people who had copies of the scriptures. So folks, this Bible that you have, and may I even say the English translation you have, which came from various sources and so forth, was blood-bought. Blood-bought. John had two great parents who taught him the Word of God. And how difficult that must have been to go down and train their son, whom they believe was given to them miraculously, supernaturally, by God, with a mission to bring Israel back to God and cause them to repent and get ready for the Messiah to come. And when Mary, who was when Elizabeth was 6 months already pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary, just having conceived, came into her home, John the Baptist leaped for joy in her womb, and she knew something great is going on here. And she knew that Mary had the Messiah in her womb. And then Mary breaks out into a great praise unto the Lord and talks about the Savior, her own Savior, that's in her womb, which tells me that Mary is not perpetually immaculate, but that she's a sinner just like anybody else and needed the immaculate one in her, the Son of God, to save her from her sin as well as anybody else. That's blasphemy in some corners, but I believe it's the truth in the Bible corner. Okay, in the Bible corner. What an upbringing he must have had. And so, in verse 5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Where would he get that's a proof of the Messiahship? All right, go to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. You know what, folks? I got to stop having my son sing songs before I preach. My nose runs, my eyes are teary. Excuse me. I think we're going to have you sing songs after I'm done preaching. Sometimes I have a hard time preaching because it's got me all worked up. All right. John chapter 35. Okay, I got to read this passage here to you, all right? I'm sorry. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. You know, it's future. This is future. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. I believe the Lord brings this passage to John's mind when he refers to what's going on in Jesus' day with his disciples going throughout the cities, preparing the nation of Israel for the kingdom to come. Oh, I do remember that passage read to me many times in the synagogues, John would say, while he sits there in prison, faith being tested. Is this really the Messiah, or do we look for somebody else? Oh, wait a minute. Scripture's being fulfilled here in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, how about raising the dead? I didn't see that in here. I didn't see that in Isaiah 35. Raising the dead. All right. John the Baptist starts paging. No, they didn't have pages. He starts rolling the scroll this way. All right, come on. I can remember there was Ezekiel. Ezekiel hey, scribe, turn that to chapter 37. We don't have chapters yet. Okay, well, get over there. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. We don't have chapters. Yeah, well, it's kind of like third way through, maybe. All right, keep scrolling it. Keep scrolling. Keep scrolling. Here's one. It says the hand of the Lord. Oh, that's it. That's it. Stop right there. In the memory of John the Baptist's mind. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, that's Ezekiel's name, given to him by God, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. You almost have to wonder, well, what kind of God is it that talks like this? He's talking to dry bones, dead bones. You know, the whole nation of Israel is dead in trespasses and sins. And they are like a nation of dry bones when the Lord comes to it, even when John the Baptist came and preached to them. Prophesy unto these dry bones. Preach unto these. You know, it hasn't changed one bit. Everybody around us who knows not the Lord as their personal Savior are dead men. They're dry bones. And you know what we need to do? Prophesy unto them. Preach the word unto them, Son of man. Tell them they're lost and dead in trespasses and sins, and there's someone who can raise them up again. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. That's muscles, you know, all the muscle things. Now, you've got to kind of imagine this in your mind, okay? In a way that only you can. I'm not going to put a movie up here and a video up here or do anything on YouTube or anything like that. You sit there and figure this out yourself. Paint a picture in your own mind. Verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. You know, when these creatures were all done, they didn't have a neck bone down here and a thigh bone up here with their head on top of it. No. Bone to his bone, to the one that they belong to. And bone by bone, there's that song, you know, the hip bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the knee bone connected to the ankle bone, and on and on. Yeah. I think I have it going the wrong direction. Verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. That reminds me of religious people. They got all the religion on, but they have no breath. They're not really alive yet. They might look like they're religious. They might look like they have some Christianity to them, but there's no breath in them. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. John, we've raised the dead. Yes, Jairus' daughter, I raised her up. Did you hear about that, John? Yeah, I've heard that. I heard that. Jairus. I know Jairus. His daughter was raised up. The 12 disciples, including Judas, were going from city to city and they were raising the dead. And the 70 that he sent out were doing the same thing. Wow. And Jesus raised others from the dead too. Lazarus. Remember? And when he died on the cross, many of the Old Testament saints came out of the graves as well and appeared unto many. John, did you hear about that? Yeah. Christian today. Let's just bring it right up to today. Christian, have you seen dead men come to new life in Christ? Have you seen people who once were cursing God one day and the next day they're praising God? One day they're a drunkard, and now they're in a sound mind. One day they're worshiping devils, now they're worshiping the Lord. One day they're reading rotten pornography and everything else, next day they're reading the Word of God. What's going on? They had more than just flesh and sinew put on their dry bones. They had the breath of life breathed into them. The day they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And wind in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God who must breathe into you new life in Christ. It's He who brings life into you. The moment you trust and repent and trust Christ as Savior, immediately you come to new life in Christ. And it is a new life in Christ. And all these bones stood as a mighty, exceeding great army, it says. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. John, you're asking, am I the one that's supposed to come, or do we look for another? I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the Lord. Verse 15, the word of the Lord came unto me again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it. Now, I'm done reading that part. How about that? The dry bones, the valley of dry bones, come back to life. Jesus' answer says, John, I am He, and there is none other. That's the answer. And blessed is he, back there in Matthew chapter 11, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. John, I don't want you to be offended at what you see going on. Don't be offended. How about you, Christian? Do you sometimes get offended at the cause of Christ? Maybe it's not going the way you think it ought to go. Maybe the results aren't just as you think they should be. Do you get a little bit upset with the Lord and say, Lord, why? Why can't it be better than this? Why can't there be a better response than this? Don't be offended. This is the Lord's work. It's the Lord's doing. It's not yours. You're not responsible for it. You're not responsible for the results. You're responsible just to be faithful. John, don't lose your faith. Don't be offended in me. Don't be thinking that maybe we should be looking for someone else. Did I make a mistake in pointing my disciples to Jesus? John might be thinking. Did I pick out the wrong one? No, John. You did right. This is correct. And blessed is he that is not offended in me. You know what? I want you to go out of here with absolute assurance that this is the right thing to be doing. It's the right thing to be believing. And carry your Bible, and every time the doubts come, you just start saying to yourself, all right, let's test this matter out. Has God been doing the work that He said He would do? Yes, He has. Has He been changing people and making new creatures out of old creatures? Yes. Is He making dead bones, dry bones, living bones, new lives in Christ? Yes, I see them all around. I see them here in this auditorium. I can look at a lot of you and I know your past, many of you. I know what you were before Christ, and I see something different after Christ. B.C. and A.C., right? Before Christ and after Christ. I see new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, do you mess up now and then? Then I kind of wonder about you. Yeah. Don't be offended in what Christ has done and is doing and is going to do. Don't be offended. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ and go forward. John, what did John do? Yeah. We don't hear anything because the Lord's going to go on talking more about John, kind of leave John in prison. But Lord, don't you think it'd be a good idea to let John out? He's been so faithful to you, and now look at... We'll be teaching you a little bit about who John the Baptist was like. And he's like the prophet that's going to come someday just before Jesus comes back the second time. Elijah. And he fulfills his duty. Fulfills his ministry. And that's what you and I need to do. Let's do the work of the Lord. Don't be looking for, you know, roses and in a no thorny way, and flowery beds of ease. You know, if you get that, thank God for it, but don't be expecting that that's what it should be. Flowery beds of ease. Am I a soldier of the cross? How about we sing that? All right, somebody find that song. Jason, you come. Let's sing this in closing. Anybody shout it out. What's the number? Am I a soldier of the cross? It's in the hymn book. $4.99. Boy, listen to these words as we sing them in closing here today. I know I really didn't preach too much on how to be saved and things like that, but if you do need help with that, step forward, meet me down at the front here. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as Savior. But Christian, as we sing this song, blessed is he that is not offended in me. 499, let's stand and sing as we leave.
Am I a soul?